We're so happy to have back with us on the show the Browns offensive coordinator, Brad Childress. Coach, welcome back.
Good to be here. Thanks, Vic.
Great to have you with us. As we get to the next to last week now of these offseason workouts and this being the mini camp phase, give me a sense of how the offense is progressing from what you saw the first day of OTAs, which I know it's basically the same thing. We call those OTAs. These are mandatory mini camps. But from that first day that you had the veterans and rookies together, as you look at the big picture of the offense, to what you see through the end of this week.
Well, you know what? I think all of them have made obviously huge strides to where you're literally out there walking through with the veterans and reinstalling some things, you know, just a few different nuances. And then to get the rookies in here through a rookie mini camp to be kind of molded together with the veterans, I think all of them have jumped in leaps and bounds.
Is there how conscious of you are you of the installation process of the game, of the playbook, when you're feeding this, especially I know to younger players like Brandon Weeden, like Trent Richardson, like Mitchell Schwartz, along with the older guys who haven't been exposed to, I guess, everything that you're bringing into this, because it is going to be a little different from what they had before. Pacing that, knowing full well that you start this all over again in late July with training camp.
Well, you know what, Vic, we throw a whole bunch at those guys. We don't go part whole, we kind of go whole part, and right from the time we start with the rookies in their rookie mini camp to at this point in time, since the veterans have been through some of this, we throw a bunch at them here in this mini camp, both morning and afternoon.
Now I know you track this stuff. To the naked eye, I don't see what looks like a ton of errors that where you and other coaches are stopping plays and starting it up. It seems like it's moving somewhat efficiently. Is that, am I seeing the right thing, or how much in the way of mistakes are you seeing?
No, you know, it's efficient. We do most of our coaching off of film. You know, we try to get it in the film study and in the installations before we get out on the football field. To the naked eye, it would look like it's efficient. You know, I'm not sure that the perfect practice or perfect play has ever happened, you know, because
right,
there's always things that you can make better.
Watching Brandon Weeden, looks like a guy who has hit the ground running, I guess, from his first day of rookie minicamp in terms of how he's throwing the ball. And I know that what these tend to boil down to, these offseason workouts without contact, is extended passing drills, and we're really paying attention to what he's doing there. What are you seeing of him that's maybe jumping out at you, even maybe a little more than what you saw when you studied all his college tape?
Well, you know, he played in a great league down there, and you always wonder whether it's anybody you draft, is it going to be too big for him? And I don't see it being too big for him. Whether it's the verbiage, whether it's the throws, making throws all over the field, he's got a very good huddle command and a very good presence in the huddle.
And it seems like it's a consistent ball that comes out of his hand. I mean, the spin, the whether it's a short pass, immediate, intermediate pass, longer throw, it just seems to have that I don't know, a straight line, and it's looking like I want to see an NFL pass look.
Well, when you think about the guy used to pitch in a major league in the Yankees organization, how important is control and command of the football or command of the baseball? You know, when you're talking about putting on a little black stripe on the outside edge of the plate. So
yeah.
He's got pretty good command of the football. And I always say that an NFL quarterback, it ought to be like a yo-yo on a string. You ought to be able to stick it on a front shoulder or stick it on a back shoulder or overlead it or put
right,
it low if you want it.
And Coach, walk us through what your approach is, your specific approach is to practice. I watch, of course, Mark Whipple, the quarterback's coach, working as he should, I guess, behind the QBs and looking at a lot of the mechanical stuff. I know you're looking at that as well. Coach Shurmur, kind of, CEO, he's in the middle. He's keeping an eye on a little bit of everything, but a lot of attention, of course, to the offense. And I see you sort of off to the side. A lot of times I see you spending time with the O linemen, and then you come over and watch the group, it seems, from a big picture distance. What are you taking in? I know at some point you're feeding in plays when you get to team drill, but give me a sense of what the day-to-day Brad Childress approach to practice is.
Well, I think, you know, when you coordinate on offense, you're basically talking to all those different factions, whether it's the running backs coach or the wide receiver coach or the quarterback coach. You kind of want to leave them alone and let them coach during practice. So many of the things that we talk about are in meetings and film studies and practice schedules and what are we going to do during the things, and you want to let those guys alone. I always like to put my eyes on offensive linemen and wide receivers and tight ends, all those different positions. I get to watch the tape, but just to see them in their drill work and how they go about it and the things they're doing.
Are you happy with the level of engagement overall that as a group? This is an offense that, of course, has a lot of work to do to improve over what it did last season. Are you satisfied? That's a wrong word. I know coaches are never satisfied, but are you liking the progress you're seeing from that standpoint?
Yeah, you know what? These guys are they're willing guys. They want to get better. That they're being professionals, they're working at their trade and their craft, and you know what, there's nothing wrong with that. It's something that you want them to do, you want them to like football. I know you say professional football, do they like football, but they genuinely like what they do, and they come to work whistling while they work.
Brad Childress, Browns offensive coordinator, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. They're all new to you, the quarterbacks, as far as working with them directly. But Colt McCoy, at least, has had a chance, and Seneca Wallace, too, had a chance to play in this league. McCoy, a lot less, of course, than Wallace. But you have an opportunity to look at tape and see what he's done in a Browns uniform over the last couple of years. Can you give me a sense of what you see of him in these drills now, maybe compared to what you've seen on tape?
Well, you know what? I think he's got a little bit more. He's a little bit more comfortable in the system, having been a lap around the track. Well, not even a lap around the track, because they didn't have off-season workouts last year. I mean,
Right. Really,
he's only been through training camp and through a regular season. But I see him being comfortable with some of the nuances of the system that maybe Brandon's not comfortable with yet. That he's trying to get up to speed with, and probably Seneca's the most comfortable at all because he spent some time in the West Coast offense.
It would seem that you, Pat Shurmur, have a delicate balance when it comes to distribution of snaps for these quarterbacks. You have a rookie who you are doing all you can to help get him ready, but you have other quarterbacks who aren't standing around. I mean, you've got to work with them as well. This is still an open thing. No winner has been declared, so everyone is getting some level of reps out there. How do you go about that process of making sure everybody is getting enough? Because even if you know there's a starter to deal with, there is also potentially a number two quarterback to emerge from this group.
There is, Vic, and you know what, we pay particularly close attention to that. If you've got a 12-place set, the person that you've got running with the ones is usually going to take 5 reps, and then the next guy's going to take 4 reps, and the third's only going to get 3 reps. And so we look at that very, very closely, and you'd be surprised that those guys, those first couple guys, are within 3 or 4 reps each other usually every day when we count those things up.
Another thing I know that you chart is the drops by receivers, and you chart the good things too, by the way, by everybody I know, but there are those errors. As you look at it in this overall group from beginning until now, and I know there were maybe a few more drops on, say, a Wednesday compared to what you had in other days, but are you sensing that there's a progress being made, because this was a big area of emphasis for the offseason to get these guys to hold on to the football?
Well, it's still a huge emphasis, and you know, we had a few more drops in Wednesday's practice than you would have liked to seen. If you can make the routine plays routinely, then the great plays come. I think just listening to Pat, and of course I wasn't here last year, there might be 2 or 3 more games that you could have won had you just made some of those catches, you know, thrown and caught the ball.
And my sense of the receiver group is they know this. They certainly know what kind of fire they're under, just from a media public, you know, fan standpoint, and not to mention coaches being right there on top of them to make sure they're doing the right thing and coaching them and correcting them. But they feel like they're challenged, and they seem to be challenging themselves. You're looking for that accountability.
No, there's no question you want to be accountable. And hey, receivers by definition should receive, and that goes for running backs and tight ends as well. But, you know, those drops are drive killers, and just somebody coming up with a routine play and catching a ball and you getting a first down as opposed to you being off the field and you having to punt the football, that's a huge deal. You can't those things are at a premium.
Another distribution question is carries. I think safely say the third overall pick of the draft, Trent Richardson, is the guy at running back. But you have other guys on this football team in Brandon Jackson, Chris Obanaya down the line, who are vying for, and Montero Hardesty, who are vying for their part and their place in this running game. How do you go about dealing with that now, if you're dealing with that now, or is it just about assessing just to see what you have in everybody and what sorts of roles they can play in the season?
You know, we've got good little competitions going in there, and you mentioned all the prime candidates. The one guy you didn't mention was Brandon Jackson. He's having a nice off season, a nice camp. He got hurt right away last year, but I've seen a little spark in him. You see that obviously in a Trent Richardson. I think we'll have a greater appreciation for Trent once we put those pads on. And then Montero is as healthy as he's been, as well as Obanaya. So,
yeah.
Are we looking to spread those touches out? We are right now. I think it'll whittle its way down as we go through training camp in the summer.
And with regard to the offensive line, an area that, like running back, there's only so much you can assess without contact. But what is your takeaway of what you've seen so far of Mitchell Schwartz, who you've thrown right in there at right tackle? I know you've had Ryan Miller working some at the left tackle spot. And a group that has some younger people that also have to show what they can do for you and everybody else, and Jason Pinkston at guard, Sean Laval. What's your general take on how this group's performing?
You know what? It's a extremely professional group. I think probably those young guys get their heads spinning a little bit because there's so many things. There's so much communication that goes on between guard and tackle and guard and center, with center directing the whole show. But willing participants. And Joe Thomas, consummate professional. Alex Mack, extremely professional, and then you're looking at two guards that really got their feet wet last year that are going to be much, much better this second lap around the track.
And the tight end group, I know that has been perceived to be an area of strength when everybody's healthy, but having Ben Watson in there and Evan Moore, Jordan Cameron looks like he's showing some flashing, at least some, during these off-season workouts, and Alex Smith. Give me your sense of what you see of your tight ends and how good of a group you have.
You know what? I like that group of tight ends. I think they all bring a little something different to the table. Ben Watson's been doing this a long time. You know, I don't see him degrading in terms of his ability to be able to run up the field. Alex Smith can play in the backfield. He can play on the line of scrimmage. When you talk about Jordan Cameron, you're talking about a young guy, a novice at the position, but you're starting to see some of his God-given athletic ability come through. And Evan Moore's no slouch. So you got four good guys. You've got guys that are willing to mentor the younger guy. I really feel like they've got a good room there.
Great stuff. Brad, thank you so much for your time. We truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Vic.
He is Browns offensive coordinator Brad Childress joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, and you're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.